Hello everyone, I'm Jay Gould, founder and host of Behind the Web. Today's question is, how do you take an idea to revenue within 7 weeks and then within 8 months, grow that business and membership to 50,000 members? Today's guest, Leo Widrich, the co-founder of Buffer, is going to explain exactly how they did that. Leo, welcome to the show.
Hi Jay, awesome. Glad to have you on here today.
So why don't you take us back? You weren't the original founder. Who's the original founder of Buffer?
Sure. So it was about in October 2010 that Joel came up with the original idea of Buffer. When he used Twitter, he always wanted a nicer and an easier way to post tweets. He would come across a lot of startup posts, a lot of quotes he wanted to tweet. It's always a hassle if you tweet five things in a row. You mentioned earlier that, if Scoble kind of flutters your screen with five things within 10 minutes, you go like, whoa, I'm going to unfollow this guy, right? And so he came up with the idea of buffering these things. So saying, spreading them out over the days even. So you drop them into your buffer and then buffer posts them for you at good times so no one gets annoyed from inside your stream. And Joel then on the side, he had a day job by then, just, cranked out Buffer within 7 weeks and then launched it in beta in mid-December. And after 3 days, the first person started paying. And so he was kind of, wow, something's going on here, right?
So he's a programmer himself. He put this thing together practically overnight. He launches this thing. And he gets revenue. So he knew immediately people would be willing to pay for this service. That's how valuable it was.
Absolutely, yeah. That was. So Joel actually followed very religiously the Lean Startup movement on building Buffer. So he really was all about testing the idea. He had a great landing page. If you Google idea to revenue in 7 weeks, you will find Joel wrote a long article on exactly that. Just like how important it is to test the idea exactly when it enters your mind, speaking to people, what do you think about this? Could this be helpful for you? And he did a great job on the landing page of before it even existed.
So, yeah. Right, and that brings you into what you do, right? So you're in marketing. So what did you do prior to Buffer? Why don't you tell us that?
Yeah, and so actually I dropped out of college recently. I went to university. I went to business school in the UK, and I always kind of had this drive to, build a startup on the side. And I tried a couple of things in social media marketing. I had a small agency which made a few bucks, and then I tried a website where you could read. Everyone kind of has these ideas when they are in college. So I tried to do a website where you could review your college professors, and that would kind of help you to figure out which course to go to and stuff. And when I pushed that live, I hacked that together, even though I'm not a programmer, with WordPress and stuff. And when I launched it, I got a nice email from the university saying that if I don't shut down the site, they will kick me out of university because I've got all the data and I can't collect
that.
Yeah. So I kind of said, well, screw that. And then Joel just came along and said, well, look, this is working. I could use someone to help with the marketing. And I said, well, let me have a go at this. And it kind of worked.
How did you meet Joel? How did you guys meet?
Yeah, so Joel was at the same university as me as well. And we met there at various entrepreneurship events. We organized like a conference type of thing together. And then we just stayed in touch. Joel had a previous startup called OnePage, and I always love to give him feedback on that. And he helped me with my projects. And then with Buffer, it was just a really, really good fit where we said, like, well, why not try this thing together, us two? And that's kind of where we said, well, we can give it a go.
OnePage sounds very familiar. Tell me about OnePage briefly.
Yeah, well, so OnePage is your business card in the cloud. And the idea was similar to an About Me or Flavors Me, that you can collect business cards from people you meet at conferences and with digitally, right? So you just have it in a stack of folders online, and you never have to.
And whatever happened with OnePage? Did he sell that?
OnePage reached some popularity, but the problem actually always was it wasn't monetized. So there was no revenue coming from it. So you could, there wasn't a chance of selling it or trying to, you know, squeeze some money out of it. But Joel then decided, well, it's better just to try a completely new idea, which is monetized from day one, which he did with Buffer. So it's still live, but it's just no longer under development.
I apologize. I usually open up these interviews, and the first question I always ask, the first one always, is in your own words, your 10 words or less kind of pitch, describe Buffer. Can you do
sure.
that?
Sure, absolutely. So Buffer is a smarter solution to post updates to Twitter and Facebook. You drop tweets in your Buffer, which is a queue, and then Buffer posts automatically for you throughout the day to Twitter or Facebook or the social networks.
So, okay, so let's now go back into the story, right? I apologize. So let's go back to the story now. So now you're working with your co-founder, and you guys have a business, and he has some customers. So from the first day he launches it to 7 weeks later, how many people did they sign up? And from the very first person, did he charge the first person, or was it free? Explain the business a little.
Absolutely. Buffer is a very simple freemium subscription model. So we kind of followed the Evernote approach, right? So you can sign up for free. We wanted to make the free plan really good. So if you say, well, I only need the free plan, that's fine with us. We hope you refer it to your friends and stuff. So it's the idea was that you could get a certain number of tweets to be stored in your Buffer for free. And then if you need more than that, you just pay $10 a month to get more space in your Buffer or additional features you can unlock with it. And that kind of worked really well. So Joel collected emails before he launched, you know, where he just had the landing page up, explaining what Buffer will do. And it looked like a landing page, right? People would think, oh, Buffer existed, right? So they would click sign up, and then he would say, oh, we're not quite ready yet. But if you're interested, please put your email in there. So he collected, like, I think, 150 or 200 emails through that. And that was a great way to validate the idea.
How did he get those people? Where was he finding them?
Yeah, so because Joel had his previous startup, he established an engaged Twitter following. So he had about 2,000 followers on Twitter. And he just, you know, tweeted it out there, and a couple of friends helped him.
His initial user base were people that followed him from Twitter, which those followers were, they knew of him because of his previous company.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So now he has these few hundred people that sign up on his service initially for this new service, but there's no product, right? This is a famous, a lot of people do this now, right?
Exactly.
So he has like this fake dummy page, a landing page for a product that doesn't exist as he's kind of coding it at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. So he finally finishes, he launches the product, and he emails those first few hundred people.
Yeah.
And immediately it's the subscription plan. It's free, a freemium model.
Yeah. Immediately, yeah. From day one, there was a paid subscription.
That's great. And so explain the free account versus the one tier up. What are the differences?
Okay. So on the free plan, you can stack up to 10 tweets in your Buffer. So you can queue up 10 tweets. And if you run out, you can add more, but you can never store more than 10 at any given time. And then if you say, well, I'm doing all my reading on Sunday morning, and I want to put 50 tweets in there, or 20 or 15. Then if you say, I'll need more than 10 to be stored, you can get the pro plan, which gives you up to 50 tweets in your Buffer and costs you $10 a month. And at the same time, you say, well, I have my own business Twitter account. I have my personal Twitter account. I have my business Twitter account, and I'm also handling some organization's Twitter account.
Do you charge per account, or do they can have multiple accounts under your account?
Up to three accounts on the pro plan as well.
What is it?
Up to three accounts.
You can get these business guys. Okay. So that's great. Okay. So now you're limiting storage of the Buffers.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what are the levels? What are your levels?
Yeah. So we have 50 on pro plan per account, and then we have unlimited on the premium, which is $30 a month. Which is kind of, you can store unlimited tweets in there, and unlimited Twitter accounts and team members as well. So
you went over some key statistics that were kind of very interesting in the business when we did our pre-call. Why don't you explain, what does the average person have in terms of the number of followers that they actually have?
It's kind of interesting because we're speaking at the moment with a lot of investors, and it's kind of coming up a lot. And people say, oh, yeah, that's for the power user, right? That's for the Scovilles and the Guy Kawasaki's
out there. That's what you
think. Yeah, that's what you think, naturally. And then when we analyzed our figures, what we found is that over 60% of all of our paying users have below 200 followers. So this is kind of a huge testimonial for us, saying that we are providing value for so many people, in a, you know, to the casual user even, right? And who is willing to pay $10 a month, because we make their life so much easier. We kind of help them to create a lasting Twitter presence, right? That's the purpose of Buffer.
So when you created your, let me just back up to the pricing. When he created the price plan, were you involved in the company at that point? You came in the 11th week, is that right? He started 7 weeks in, he gets to market, he's in market, he convinces you, you know what, you got to come over and work with me. A few weeks later, it took you a little while, you wanted to see some traction, I guess. You're just like investors. So you joined, right? And what made you guys come up with the pricing plan? I mean, what was the...
That's a really good question, actually. So we started out with, actually, the pro plan was only $5 a month back then. And the reasoning for the pricing was to look at competitor products or, you know, products in the same space and see which value they are providing. And even though there was no exact competitor product out there, but there were similar people in the space, there was like a Hootsuite or other dashboard, and they all charged around $5 to $10 a month. And so we said, well, that's what we want to start out with as well. And as we improved the plans over time, we added new features, you know, and different social networks, different ways to buffer. We said, well, we want to try, and I think we're providing enough value to charge $10 for this, and we changed it.
And when you say that they're buffering, are they just dropping links and what the tweet will say, and then you save it and schedule and shoot it for them later?
Exactly.
You don't really store any files, right?
No, we don't store any files.
This is great. So the bandwidth cost and the storage cost is pretty low on your end.
Absolutely.
You're just providing a very useful value, something that people really value, and they're willing to pay you for that.
Exactly. Buffer is really simple product, which just still helps people in an enormous way. So we have one of the top social media consultants using us, which his name is Jay Baer, and he's coming up to us, and you know, he gets offers, you know, from big enterprise social media softwares and stuff, and it's like they pay him thousands of dollars to use it and promote it and stuff, and they have millions of features as well, and he's like, I still use Buffer just because it's simple and it does what needs to be done on Twitter, you know, tweet frequently at the best times. And that's always been the idea, to really understand what's the need for a Twitter user, what does he need to do at the end of the day. And that's why we think Buffer has taken off in the way it has.
So people like him are using it. I mean, there's certain people that use products and then they fall off. We call that the attrition, right? What is the attrition for Buffer? What percentage of users that join become a paying subscriber eventually are falling off?
Yeah. So we have, again, very worked on our numbers a lot here. And what we have is, we have roughly a 2% conversion from free to paid users. So if out of 100 people that sign up, about 2 will become paying members. This is about industry average, we found. And the interesting thing here, though, is, and this is, again, very powerful and similar to, I don't know if you come across the Evernote cohort analysis, where it kind of says, at the first day you sign up for Buffer, only 0.5% of the people will become paying, right? Because they just get started on the free plan, right? And they say, oh, how does it go? But looking at the same cohort and 3 months later, 5% of the people will become paying. So this is kind of really powerful for us, because it means as we provide value over time, people are a lot more likely to become a paying user of our product.
Let's rewind back a little bit. So you're there for like a month. Joel brings you in because you're the marketing guy, but he's got a great business already that potentially will make him millions of dollars. Why bring you in? What have you done for him? Why raise any money ever? Explain all of that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So when I came in, the idea was validated. Joe was making a couple hundred bucks a month from Buffer, and we just sat down and asked ourselves, how can we grow this faster? How can we tell more people about this? And this is when we decided, well, we could just start blogging and develop a very focused content marketing strategy. And we established our own blog at blog.buffer.com, and you know, just started to give people value without referring to our product. So what we did is we just started blogging about Twitter tips, social media tips, ways to improve your Twitter impact and so forth. And that kind of really, really took off. So I started blogging more and more, and then I started guest blogging, and I started blogging for the Next Web and for HubSpot and for Kissmetrics and for all these bigger blogs. And it gave us, you know, a huge number of backlinks to our site and more traffic, and it just kind of kicked off the virality of Buffer even more. That was kind of the marketing idea behind it, and we still do that. So it just is a great way to also stay in touch with your users. If you continually publish content, you know, they comment on it and they explain what their problems are, you understand the space a lot better.
Okay.
And
so he had grown to, in the first 7 weeks, he gets to launch. He launches, he's got revenue now, right? He's launched with some revenue. From 7 to 11, in that time frame, just a few weeks, how many users did he gain on his own before you came in?
That was very, very few. I think that was only about 150 users.
It was basically his Twitter followers, his friends.
Yeah.
And he says, can you help me get this thing up? And you had a plan, which is to be intertwined into the community authentically, commenting about, you know, just, okay. So that's great. Other people I've talked to did the same thing, right? The guys at Fidocracy did this on Reddit. A lot of people are doing this, you know, through Hacker News and stuff, right? So you did it through communities of blogging and things of that nature. So it seemed very authentic then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and then you grow that user base from just a few hundred. And can you tell me, like, month over month, how large did you grow? And how, first of all, when did you found the business? What was that?
So it's founded the launch was, first week of December.
Okay.
So that was kind of the.
So that's interesting. So by like February or so, you're in the business, and then within what, 2-3 months, how many users do you have month over month while you're there doing what you're doing?
Yeah. So we had a really, really strong growth from then onwards. I think we have been growing for the first 6 months, I think 15% week over week, and. It took a while to take off. It's really hard work to the content marketing, to crunch out content each day. It's a lot of fun as well because I kind of enjoy writing. But it kind of took us a while to hit Raymond profitability. So I think we hit Raymond roughly at end of April when we made roughly 4K a month from it. So, you know, that will mean probably like 2K for each one. Or that was probably not even that much then. I think it was only maybe 2K at that time. But just where we say, okay, that was the time where Joel basically quit his job. So and I kind of just finished my last few lectures at university. So really, I think after a month, we had I think 1,000 users.
And you're saying what percentage at that? I mean, first of all, have the percentages of those that convert gone up over time, or has that always remained the same?
That has fortunately the same 2-2.5% conversion from the first week has remained the same up until now.
Okay,
which was kind of very good as we see.
So for everybody who signs up, there's about a 2.5% that will convert, and of all of your users, about 2.5% or so are converted to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So okay, so let's rewind the tape again. I apologize, right? Because we get ahead of ourselves. I go back and forth. When Joel comes up with this business, right? I mean, most people look at it, when they think about a business, they think about what's the market size.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
How did he know what the market size was? Does he say the market size is all of Twitter, whatever their member base is?
Yeah.
And I will get some subset of that. And he just kind of guesses, I guess, intuition. Is that what he does?
No.
Okay, what did he do?
I think it was more of the the 37 signals approach of scratching your own itch, kind of saying, I have this huge pain with this problem. I can't tweet consistently. I end up tweeting 2 times a day, and then I don't tweet for 5 days. And kind of, my followers, I can't build trust with my following and so forth. And I think that was the point where he said, well, usually if you are normally if you're a normal Twitter user, you're a really good proxy for what's going on
Yeah,
for
I
nearly everyone
agree.
else. And so he kind of said, well, there must be a solution for this. And I think Joel said he tested 10 different services who could have helped him with that. And none did it in a great way. So he said, well, screw this, I'm going to code it myself. And then that's kind of the point where he started developing it. And at this very early stage, I think he wasn't, or we were even a few months in, we weren't thinking like, what's our market? What's our target market? It's that only over time, now that we are at the stage of raising money, we kind of really figured out how the whole mathematics works of our business and which our target market is and so forth. Right now, this is what you said is
And now
true.
you're trying to, as you're raising money, now you have to try to figure out what is the market size? What are we going after?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that already became clear over time. Like I think a couple of months back, we already knew that, we have who is using Twitter in the way that Buffer makes sense for them. And we researched, we found there's 55% of all tweets posted each day contain links to news or blog sites. So these are people who have a potential use for Buffer because they're interested in having impact on when they share. So this is kind of the thought process we then developed as we went along.
Is this also an application for your Facebook page too, so you can also schedule your Facebook updates?
Yeah, so we have Facebook also working internally, and we're gonna we are preparing the launch of this, but we want to really build up the buzz around this. We only launched a pre-beta, so we basically did the same as we did for when the product didn't exist. So you can now sign up for the pre-beta for Facebook, and we have I think close to 10,000 people on the list waiting
Yeah, I mean,
until.
I gotta tell you, something that I've always wanted Facebook to do is
Yeah.
if I don't log on Facebook the day of my friend's birthday, then I can't tell him happy birthday, right? So it'd be great if you guys just had a birthday feature in itself, right? I could go through all my friends that I want to, because not everybody you want to say happy birthday to because they're more of an acquaintance, right? But the friends that you're really close with, the next day you log in, you're like, oh, I look like the idiot that didn't say happy birthday and I have no excuse. It's on my phone, but you didn't know, right? You know what I mean? It's
Absolutely.
like there are certain things you'd like to schedule, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, so that's why I asked about Facebook. I mean, obviously, you're going to do this for every social media platform that exists over time.
Absolutely,
Okay.
that's the plan. And one thing which is kind of really crucial that we figured out here is that the dynamics of Twitter are very different to the dynamics of Facebook. How often you post, what types of posts, longer text, links, photos on Twitter, it's just short text and so forth. So we want to really incorporate these things and satisfy the user because this is what got us far on Twitter. We really understood how Twitter works. And now we want to really understand how Facebook works in terms of posting dynamics and get the experience right.
So today you have 50,000 users. Is that what it is? Wow. And about 2.5% of these people are paying you $12, $12.5 a month. So it's already a thriving business. You guys have a real business here. How many people are in the company right now between you, Joel, inside, and then also contractors?
Oh yeah. So we. It's right. We are on a looking to towards a 200K run rate annual revenue, which is, we are still very small, and we've been in the process of raising money. And we brought on board another engineer from the UK. He's very close to us, and that was our first employee, Tom. And then we also hired one contractor to build our iPhone app, and we hired another developer to build our Android app, and we have another marketing person on board who does the same thing as me, just crunching out great content every day and kind of getting us featured and getting the buzz going and so forth. So we have about 6 people working on Buffer now.
Great. Okay, and you've raised some money now. Previously, you're going to raise some more money right now. You're going to expand the business. You're going to open up an office. Are you guys out of AngelPad? Is that where you're at now?
Yeah, so we're in Asia right now. Yeah. So we have demo day coming up. Yeah.
And you're in San Francisco right now.
Exactly, we based out of San
Francisco. You moved from the UK there, and I guess Joel did the same, or?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, we left everything behind. We have a small suitcase and just came out here.
And are you planning to stay? You raised the money, are you going to stay?
Yeah, absolutely. I think
it's a good place. That's great. It's going to make it easier to raise money, I would guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the plans? What's the next step? What do? You raise the money. What's the market size? How big can this business get?
That's something which we, as I said, we discovered gradually as more and more people signed up and more use cases emerged, things which we couldn't even imagine that people would use Buffer for. And the way forward for us will be to bring this buffering experience inside as many apps, as many websites and blogs, just very widespread across the web. So, and to give you an example here, what we've done is we built the buffer button for blogs and websites. So similar to a tweet button, you can put the buffer button there. And the great thing for a blogger is that anyone who comes to your site and hits the tweet button kind of has to think, okay, have I tweeted before? Is it 1 a.m. in the morning? Does it even make sense for me to tweet now? Will anyone see it? And by buffering, you can just always go, oh yeah, sure, that I like this, I'll buffer it. And buffer will take care of all the rest.
You know, it's very interesting. There's add me or add this, right? One of those tools that bloggers use, right? You're going to replace that tool over time. Is my guess is you're kind of competing with them, right? That's your competitor in some ways. You're
exactly.
Adding more functionality. They're just saying click, boom, send. You're saying click, save, or click, nope, you sent this once before. You don't want to be doing it more than once.
Exactly. We want to make the experience a lot smarter, a lot more intelligent.
Right. So I could imagine most people are going to want to have that on their blog, at least in addition to it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things you guys could probably do, too, is the buffer feature. I don't know if you do this now. If you have it as a blog for a blogger, at the bottom, it could have the button, and it could say click buffer. And then if the user is a random user, hasn't signed in, it could say you could retweet this thing right now, or if you'd like to schedule, sign up for a free account.
Yeah, that already works, actually. So we already
okay,
have,
you have
post
that now.
Now or the schedule it. So you can either add it to your buffer or post it now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
But do you have to join to do that as a user the first time?
Exactly. Yeah, we want to. We will make this very frictionless, and it's already
right. Like lower those friction points. Right, right.
Right. So you just sign in with Twitter. You know, you don't even have to sign up. All you do is you sign in with Twitter through Buffer, and then you start
boom,
tweeting as you.
If you want to send it right away, you can. You can do that unlimited because that's instant, right? But the point of the service is to schedule or buffer your events or your tweets.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
So again, I like to press on this question. How big can your company be? How much can the sales be? How many users can you have? What is the size?
Yeah, definitely. So the idea for us is to be a real prosumer product. So we're comparing ourselves to an Evernote here, where you need to be a little techie, you need to be a little savvy to know how to use it, but there's still a huge user base out there. And the idea for us is that by looking at the Twitter user base, the Facebook user base, which is where people try to build their personal brand or build their business brand, this is growing insanely fast. And this is where we want to hook in and allow anyone who says, I want to build my online presence for whatever reason, because I have a blog for my dog, or because I want to build my business, or because I'm interested in startups, you should use Buffer because it will help you to kind of, you know, have a lasting impact on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+, wherever you're using the product. So for us, it's kind of gaining or getting to a couple million users can already render us hugely profitable as a business.
So you feel that you can do that in what kind of a time frame? You got 50,000 users almost overnight. I mean, you did this in about almost a year, I should say, right? You got to 50,000. And your growth rate, is it continuing to grow at the same rate? And so based on the numbers we've talked about, or let's go back to those numbers, right? Try to get an idea of where, you know, where Buffer can be next year at this time when I talk to you for an update, right? right? So in their first 10 months or 9 months of the business now, right? 10 to 9 months it's been. You've gotten to 50,000 users and you're seeing a growth rate of what per month? What is your growth rate right now, percentage-wise?
At the moment, our growth rate is about 40% per month.
Okay.
And so we adding like about 5K a week. So that will, you will
and
soon
you feel
like
that will accelerate. Is there some virality to this that will accelerate?
Yeah. So we have a viral component of Buffer, and where you kind of can get extra space by referring friends. Very similar to the Dropbox thing. So if you have our Buffer user free, I'm not. You post your referral link, I get more space, you get more space, we're both happy, and there's an extra Buffer user if you tweet it out. So we kind of add 10% of our user base from the viral component, and we also have a lot of affiliate deals in place, which are about 20%, where there's a lot of free apps whom we help kind of monetize. So they put a Buffer banner in there, and then people sign up, and they get a split, which is 20% of the upgraded users.
So the skeptic in me, right? Let's play devil's advocate a little bit, right? I like to do this.
Okay.
So there's Meebo Bar, right? You hit the button, it says you can share, right? You got the ad me or the ad this or whatever, the ad blah, blah, right? You got all these guys, right, that are these businesses that are doing very similar stuff.
Yeah.
The barrier to entry for them, they have a huge user base. Couldn't they just offer the same service and then maybe offer it for free?
Oh, yeah. So I think we have thought about competition a lot and about how the market has evolved over time. So the sweet spot where we kind of see ourselves in is that we bring an intelligent aspect to the table. So we're also working on a smarter algorithm on figuring out when essentially, improving our existing algorithm, making it better, figuring out when the best time for you, JR, to tweet based on your followership. And I think this is where we differentiate ourselves as the smartest sharing solution in the space. I think it's good you raise this. Another important thing is that these add this, share this, or other apps, they kind of try to have every single social networks chuck it in, and then you can share via a bar or toolbar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And what we aim to do is be very selective and kind of make Buffering in itself a brand. So we want to, add this a brand, but they wouldn't have Facebook, Twitter, you know, they promote that they have all the social networks. But the Buffer button, there is no, the Buffer button in itself isn't something we've seen in the same way. So what we do is we work with apps to get a Buffer button similar to for blogs into the app. So just prominently saying, tweet, Facebook, and Buffer this. And we have done about 6 to 10 integrations with apps so far. And this is kind of the way we want to move forward, saying creating this lock-in or this differentiating advantage. We already there. We already have the Buffer button inside this app.
So have you seen Badgeville?
No.
Check out Badgeville. They have a community of users, right, that are what they do is they go to a website as a partner, and then they allow the users, based on the activity they use the website, earn badges. So there's an achievement system, game mechanics, right? Game mechanics creates addiction, right? The largest sites on the web are largely built off of game mechanics, even Facebook and YouTube and MySpace was, right? Because it's collecting, it's feedback, it's a lot of the things that a game is built around is what most social media properties that are successful have been built around. It seems that one of your ways to become defensible, because that was what I was leading to, is how are you defensible, right? Maybe to incorporate some kind of between the users that use Buffer, maybe that they're also as they do what they do, they earn badges and that gets retweeted too or something. I don't know. Have you thought about that?
Yeah. That's a great idea. One we haven't actually discussed yet, but we will now.
Give me some equity.
No, I really like that. I think there is an opportunity here because we feel we have a very strong community.
Yeah, you have 50,000 people using that. That's a community. Get them tied together, right? I mean, that's you really will have stickiness then. And then when later, right now you're not on the blip chart, right? I don't think Meebo's even thinking about Buffer. We got other things. We got our product roadmap. We're not focused on you, right? But when you get 1 million people or 500,000 people, somebody in the product team is going to say, dude, look at these guys over at Buffer. They're growing like a weed. We got to try to do something to combat that. But if you have a community that is not going to leave, the barrier to exit, right? The barrier to exit is high because they have all this built up achievements or badges or something there, right? The feedback amongst their members, they're not going to leave you, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what that means is the websites aren't going to stop using your button either. They're going to say, we got to leave that button there because this buffer community, not only the current buffer community for the websites that have the buffer button are going to want to keep it, other websites are going to want to bring that buffer community over to them. So it's going to help you grow on both ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see this as being a pretty viral, sticky product.
Yeah, yeah. That's certainly a great suggestion there, and we'll definitely brainstorm on that. That's
okay,
good.
So I always try to give a little advice if I can. I don't know if I'm giving any good advice, but so the last thing I would say, you're out there trying to raise money, right? And you're reading everything you can on Venture Hacks to do the best job you can. I'm sure, right? I'd say there's three things in a business that you have to overcome, and I think you've already gotten there. Is it differentiated? I call it the DSD. Differentiated, can it scale, and will it scale, and how will it scale? And ultimately, will it be defensible? We were talking about defensible. There's no reason to ask why you're different. It really is different. I think you've scaled. You have 50,000 users. The question is, how can you become more defensible? I think you'll figure that out, right? And then after you do that, you go to an investor and you've already proven you've got investors. So you have social proof. You've raised a lot of money and you have traction. So good luck to you. I think you're on your way to building a big business. This is great. You know, I mean, a lot of the folks I talk to are missing something. I would say the only thing that you guys probably need to work on, but don't, you know, you have 50,000 users, so don't, who am I to tell you what to do? Right. But I would work on the defense part, right? The defensibility. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. Yeah, we definitely want to, you know, we've played around a few things, making it even stickier, but we found that even though a few competitive products would come up, people really stick with us just due to the simplicity that we offer and due to the nature of the tool.
Well, thank you for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it. I always have one last question for everybody who comes on the show. The reason why I do this show is, as you know, to try to pay it forward, to give back and share your stories with other people. I always ask the last question is, why did you accept to come on the show? What was your reason for saying, yes, I'll come on the show?
I just thought when Walter from iDundas introduced me to you, I think it's a fantastic way. It's not just, let's do a couple of interviews. I think the idea you have behind this, really helping entrepreneurs understand what helped them succeed. And in my case, I mean, I haven't succeeded. I'm in the middle of creating something and I'm enjoying myself. And it's at these stages where I think sometimes just explaining what you're doing right now can be very useful to others. And I think the target audience is someone I would love to speak to you in the future and I love to do right now already. So I just thought it's a great way to stay in touch with a startup entrepreneur community.
Thanks again for coming on the show, Leo. I appreciate it. Thank you to everybody for watching.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.